Hello and welcome to another episode of Blockchain Tech with Liberty. If you're listening to me for the very first time, you're welcome to this podcast. This podcast, I talk about blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, the metaverse, and basically just technologies that are quite, you know, a bit difficult for the general public to understand. So what I do is I try as much as possible to simplify some of these terms so that the layman can easily understand and have an idea of what some of these technologies are all about. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about DeFi. What is DeFi? What are the technologies or solutions that are being built around this term? And how can you get started in this space? What can you do right now? So without wasting much of your time, let's get started. So what exactly is DeFi? Well, DeFi is not as complex as it sounds, you know. DeFi is just decentralized finance. So this means that financial systems that are built on decentralized network or that are built on blockchain technology. So that's how simple it is, very simple. Financial systems like banking systems, like insurance and all of these things built on the blockchain. And if you remember, right, I talked about the first episode where I talked about blockchain technology has certain characteristics. Number one, which is it is decentralized, meaning that it's not governed by anybody. And number two, it's irreversible. So if you put anything on the blockchain, any data on the blockchain, you cannot reverse it. You cannot change it, right? And number three, it is super secured. So what we're doing with DeFi is that we're just taking basically financial systems, the regular financial systems, and we are building them on the blockchain network. That's what DeFi is. Now that we know what DeFi is, let's quickly talk about the projects or the solutions that are being built around this ecosystem. So the first one I want to talk about today is stablecoins. Now, last week I made mention of stablecoins when I was talking about cryptocurrencies. So stablecoins are basically cryptocurrencies that are tied to regular fiat currency. So for example, we have DAI, we have USDT, and these coins are, you know, tied in a way to a dollar. So whatever happens in the crypto, you know, market, it doesn't affect your money if you invest it or if you use them to buy stable coins. So they are stable and they are not affected by the market volatility in the crypto space. So that's the first one, and it's part of stable coins and it's part of the DeFi ecosystem. The second thing I want to talk about is lending and borrowing. So just like we have in the regular financial system, we, you know, you can go to a bank and you know you can borrow money from there and use it to execute a project and so on. The same thing can happen on the DeFi ecosystem. So now, if you're borrowing from a bank, it takes a lot of, you know, things. It takes, you know, paperwork, takes time. You have to, you know, put down collateral and so many things, right? But on the blockchain network or on DeFi ecosystem, it's quite easy. It's something you can initiate within 5 minutes. So we have, for example, some of these lending platforms. We have AXE. I don't know how to pronounce that yet, but you could just Google it. It's AAXE. That's the name of the platform. So what you can do there is can go there and you can apply to be a lender or you can apply to be a borrower. Now, to borrow, what you'll be doing is, now, unlike financial system, regular financial system that is governed, which means that if you are to borrow money, it means that they get to hold part of, you know, what you have, right? And they trust you to, pay back in the nearest future, right? But on the decentralized network, on the DeFi ecosystem, it's not easy to I mean, nobody's governing it. It's on a blockchain protocol. So it's very difficult for someone to say, oh, I know this guy, if he doesn't pay back or he defaults the loan, we are going to go to his house and get his stuff and all of that, right? So it's quite difficult. So what you'll be doing if you want to borrow money from the DeFi ecosystem is you'd have to provide more than what you're borrowing. So let me break this down. So let's say years back you bought Ethereum. You bought $100 worth of Ethereum. And now you want some money, but you don't have much because you've already invested your money on Ethereum. But you don't want to take out your money from Ethereum because you believe Ethereum is going to blow up in the future. So what you can do is you can take your Ethereum, go to a lending platform like AXE and deposit that in. So when you put that in, it gives you an opportunity to lend or borrow from them. So what you will do is you deposit your $100 worth of Ethereum and you get to receive $90 worth of fiat currency, like real dollar. So what they're doing is they're keeping your money in Ethereum. It's not going to change. And they also get their interest, right? So you deposit 100 or 110 and you get 100 out. So the $10 is part of the interest that you're paying. And then you have your money out, right? You have $100. You can take that $100. You can use it to execute other projects and do other things that you want to do. So hopefully when you're coming back next time, your Ethereum has grown so much. And now your Ethereum has grown to $150. So you deposited 110 or 100. So now you're returning, you know, the $100 that you lent, that was lent to you. And now you're taking out 150 or 140 based on the agreement and on the interest rate. So that's how to lend, or that's how to borrow on DeFi and the DeFi ecosystem. So you're basically giving out more than you are getting because you believe that what you're giving out is going to grow over time. So you can also be a lender. You can, you know, not just a borrower. So you can go there to be a borrower. You can go there to be a lender. So you go to be a lender. You can, you know, put down your money and then you get paid interest as time goes. So that's how lending and borrowing works on the DeFi ecosystem. So the next thing that I want to talk about is DEX. So DEX are decentralized exchanges. So we have centralized exchanges like Binance. So Binance is governed by people, right? It has a central organization that controls everything that goes on. But apart from now, the problem with this is now Binance would have to get approval from the government to list certain coins or to list certain cryptocurrencies. So it's not just every cryptocurrency that will be available on the Binance exchange network because it is centralized and they don't want to run so much risk. So they don't want to put in every coin that is available, you know, in on the market. So they would have to vet coins before they put it on their network. Now, that's a centralized exchange. But on decentralized exchange, it's quite different. DEX or decentralized exchange have on them, for example, we have Uniswap. Uniswap has almost all, if not all, the available cryptocurrencies in this world. So you can go to Uniswap and you could easily swap, you know, cryptocurrency for another cryptocurrency. But on a centralized exchange, what you are doing is you are basically exchanging you know, your money fiat for crypto. So they allowed you to put in physical, you know, fiat currency like dollar and you get crypto out. But on DEX does not accept dollars. It doesn't accept fiat currency because it's built on the blockchain network and it is not governed by anybody. So it's just a piece of code running on the blockchain network, and with that you can't actually put in, you know, fiat currency. So what you would have to put is, so let's say I want to exchange Ethereum for Bitcoin. So I can go to a DEX like Uniswap and I can do that, right? But if I want to convert my dollars into a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, I would need to go to a centralized exchange. So that's the difference between a centralized and decentralized exchange. And this is part of the DeFi ecosystem. Another thing that I want to talk about, which is very, very interesting, is insurance. So we have regular insurance, right? Banks, some banks, you know, offer this. So this, let's say you buy a car and you can buy insurance for a certain period of time for that car. So whatever happens to the car, your insurance, you know, company that you bought credit from gets to buy you a new car or refund you based on your agreement. So this, on the regular insurance, it's quite cumbersome because you have to hire staff, you have to, there's so much paperwork, there's so much going on, right? But on DeFi, it's quite easy. So what you can do on DeFi, if you're to, let's say, request for insurance service on DeFi, what you would do is go on the system. Now, it's going to be utilizing cryptocurrency instead of fiat currency. You go to the system and you deposit the, you buy the premium, whatever you call it, right? So you buy the premium, you deposit the equivalent, you know, amount in probably Ethereum based on what the insurance network accepts. So you deposit that and you automatically get a different currency or a means of identification that you have actually deposited or you bought you know, part one of their premiums, right? So you get this. So whenever something happens to your car and you're able to provide, you know, evidence, now most of the time it's not car, they're basically, for now, they're basically things that are, could be monitored you know, on the blockchain network. For example, I think they've been utilizing this in farms, so to monitor rainfalls and all of these things. So basically, what would happen is if some conditions are met, which means that you had a crash with your car, which is an example, you would automatically get your compensation based on the plan that, or based on the premium that you subscribe for. So there's nobody on, you know, operating, or there's no back office. It's just a piece of code running on the blockchain network, and based on what you provide, you get something in return whenever something happens. So that's how insurance work on the DeFi ecosystem. So there's nobody running it. It doesn't require paperwork. You just need to buy the premium by providing or depositing a particular cryptocurrency that is accepted on the insurance, you know, application or system. And then when you do that, you get a kind of premium identification or tag. And with this tag, whenever something happens, you know, something unfortunate, you get, you know, your premium service. You get, you know, what you bought in return, just like the regular insurance you know, system that we have now. So these systems are still, you know, coming up. I mean, they're going to blow up in coming years, but for now they're still running experiment, and you know, we're still trying to find our foot in this DeFi ecosystem. Okay, so the last thing that I'll be talking about today is flash loans. And flash loans are quite interesting. You see, unlike, you know, regular financial system, if you want to borrow money, you'd have to provide collateral, right? But with flash loans, you could borrow millions of dollars with almost nothing down. All you'd be paying for is the network fee and the interest rate. And the interest rate you'd be paying back, you know, would be, you know, once you're able to initiate the transaction and you've actually used it to do something. But here is the thing, you're not actually going to be getting millions of dollars and just walking away. kill that thought. So the way it works is this. Before you can initiate any loan with flash loan before you can receive any money, you have to first provide a way that you'll be paying back the exact same moment that you borrowed that money. So it's still experimental. So the way it works is you have to be like a developer to be able to create this smart contract on the blockchain network. So you have to tell the loan provider that you want to borrow such amount of money, and you have to tell them that this is what you want to use the money for, and then this is how you're going to return the money on the same smart contract, on the same code. So you're not actually walking away with the money. Immediately you borrow the money, you're paying back the exact same second, the exact same time. And now you might be thinking, why would I need to do such? I mean, why would I just, waste my time? Well, there's something we call arbitrage. Now, if you don't know what arbitrage is basically, let me explain. If there's a disparity between the exchange rate of one exchange platform and another, so let's say the popular, exchange network, like Binance. So let's say Binance is selling one Ethereum for $100, and then there's another exchange that is selling Ethereum for $1. So there's $1 difference. So every time I go on Binance and I buy $100 worth of Ethereum, I can go on the second exchange and sell it for $101. So I'm getting $1 for every $100 worth of Ethereum that I purchase from, or that I transact between the two exchange platforms. So that is arbitrage, right? Now, you could use flash loans to initiate arbitrage and return the money back. What do I mean? Well, you know that every time I go on Binance and buy 100 and sell on the other platform for, 101, I get $1 in return. I might not have much money, because if I had much money, I would just put millions of dollars, and I'll get, instead of $1, get lot more money back. So what you would do is you initiate a flash loan and tell the flash loan I'm borrowing like $100 million. And I'm going to take this money, I'm going to use it to buy Ethereum on Binance. And I'm going to now move to the second exchange and sell the Ethereum that I bought for $100 million or $100 and sell it on the other exchange. And once I'm done selling, I'm going to get the arbitrage gain on my end, and I'm going to return your money back to you and also pay the interest rate. So the flash loan providers is definitely getting something in return. It doesn't care what you're using the money to do. So they will allow you to do that. You initiate the transaction. You write a smart contract that tells, the blockchain network to create a transaction on Binance exchange platform to buy Ethereum, and then move that Ethereum to the second exchange and sell that Ethereum. Now it's in tune of millions of dollars. They'll sell the Ethereum on the second exchange, and you get the returns on your end, and you pay for the network fee and also pay for interest rate. Once you do this, you have your money, your $1 that has been multiplied by I don't know how many times, thousands of times. You have your money back. Now, this is how flash loan works, and actually flash loan has been carried out by couple of people, and they call it flash loan attack. I don't know why they call it that yet, but we've had cases whereby about $37 million gain, was gotten from flash loan. We even had $130 million thereabouts, from flash loan. So these are some of the things that are popping up. Is it good? Is it bad? So some people are saying it's legal. Some people are saying it's illegal. Some people are saying it's, people shouldn't do it and all of that. Well, I don't know. That depends on you. So that is it for today. That is what I'm talking about, on DeFi for today. We talked about what DeFi is, you know, and then we moved on to the solutions that are being built on the DeFi ecosystem, like stablecoins, lending and borrowing, decentralized exchanges, insurance. And now we talk about flash loans. I hope you were able to get something useful and something that you could apply someday. And that is it for today. Thank you very much for joining, and see you next week.